July the 4th, 1776. 56 men gathered in Pennsylvania's State House to draw up a Declaration of Independence from we the people of the United States to King George and to England. It was a fortunate hour in our nation's history. It was one of those rare occasions when we had greatness to spare. There were no White House scandals. There were no witch hunts trying to destroy the president. There were no ungodly theatrical productions in New York about the assassination of our national leaders. There was no sick and corrupt media poisoning the minds of Americans with fake news. No one was betraying our military. Those 56 men who birthed America were our founding fathers. They were righteous, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-adoring Christians. And I say that because the educators in America's colleges and universities today present them as greedy, malicious, self-serving people. That is a bald-faced lie. Well, let history speak for itself. John Hancock said, and I quote, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus," end of quote. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "My only hope of salvation is in the infinite love of God manifested to the world by the death of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon that. Come, Lord Jesus, even so come quickly. Amen." End of quote. Sound like a Christian to me. Patrick Henry, "It cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists," that means people who believe anything, "not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ," period, end quote. Patrick Henry. John Jay, the first Supreme Court Chief Justice, quote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their ruler." That means elections, which means if you are a respectable citizen in America, you go vote on election day. "Providence has given to our people the choice of their ruler, and it is the duty as well as the privilege of our Christian nation," listen, "to select and prefer Christians for their rulers," period, end of quote. So much for political correctness. Charles Carroll, signer of the Declaration of Independence, "Without morals, a republic cannot subsist at any length. Those who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so pure, are undermining the solid foundations of morals. The best security for the duration of our nation is morality." End of quote. What was the best security for America? The solid foundation of morality. King David writes in Psalms, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. Read with me if you will. 11:3. "For if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Let us examine today the spiritual and moral foundations of America and ask ourselves, if the foundations are being destroyed, and if they are, can America survive? I will assure you that America is in a fight for its existence, and we the people must come back to the God of our fathers. Heavenly Father, we gather here today to worship you and to celebrate America, its freedom, its liberty, and justice for all. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, praise the Lord. You may be seated. The question: does America have righteous leaders today? The answer is absolutely yes. They're not in the majority, but we have some wonderful people in Washington right now working for the preservation of America. Hear me, America, there's a serious united effort to bring our government down by the media. The liberal media is at war with the American people for the survival of our constitutional government, and don't you forget it. How can you help? You can pray to the God of heaven who has all power in heaven and on earth. Prayer changes things. Say that with me. Prayer changes things. Say it again. Prayer changes things. We can pray for our righteous leaders. We can pray against the enemies of liberty, that they be exposed, that they be brought to confusion, that they be brought to chaos, that they be brought to financial destruction. I'm describing spiritual warfare. Quit praying for the post-nasal drip of your parakeet. God's not concerned about that. Get in the arena and start fighting for the soul of this nation. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We are not helpless. We have access to God Almighty. When we pray, the angels listen and come and hasten to come to the earth. Let us go to war for the soul of this nation. Let us fight the good fight. Let us be salt and light. Let us win this victory. America must have a righteous revolution. Psalms 11:7 says, the Lord loves righteousness. Say that with me. The Lord loves righteousness. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible says all nations that forget God are turned into hell. One of those translations is hell on earth. America is trying desperately to forget God. Our colleges and universities are teaching our children in America that we're no longer a Christian nation. The Bible is not true, that there is no God, that there is no absolute truth, that there are no moral absolutes. If it feels good to you, just do it. I beg to differ. There are moral absolutes. I hold in my hand the Magna Carta of moral absolutes. What part of this book that says thou shalt not don't you get? I hold in my hand the torch of truth that has birthed the freedom that this nation enjoys. I hold in my hand the inerrant, infallible, eternal, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, who's from everlasting to everlasting. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God shall stand forever. This is our foundation. This is our foundation. In God we still trust. We are still one nation under God. Give Him praise in the house. This book says nothing is impossible to those that believe and are called according to the purposes of God. God has sent you a FedEx in this book. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. When you understand the power of united prayer, you'll shut off the television and start talking to God, because God can do something about it. This book says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free from the slavery of sin and Satan. We are free from the chains of misery and habit that have enslaved us in the times past. We are free from anger, from bitterness, from the rejection and resentment that you experienced in your childhood or in your marriage. We are free from the greed and pride planted in our soul by the prince of darkness. We are free from the fear of tomorrow. We are free from the power of sickness and disease. For by his stripes we are healed. We are free from poverty and want, for it is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth. We are free from the powers and principalities of darkness. We are free from the guilt of the past. We are free from the lack of self-confidence. If God be for you, who can be against you? We are free from personal insecurity, of your ability to accomplish great things, for nothing is impossible to those that believe and are called according according to the purposes of God. Dream your dream, and you and God make it happen. Give him praise in the house of God. America's trying to forget God. How did we get this far off course? Our founding father said, we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Today, our floundering fathers mock the beliefs of the founding fathers. They mock the word of God. They mock common decency. They mock morality. They celebrate the murder of the unborn as if it's social progress. Where do we start the spiritual revolution? It starts with you. Why? Because everyone thinks about changing the world, but the fact is the only thing you can really change is you. You. Let's consider the foundations of America, who were our founding fathers, and the sacrifices they made for you and for me. Listen to history. These men had something to lose. 24 were outstanding lawyers. 9 were wealthy plantation owners. 23 remaining were all men of distinction. They had a great deal to lose. They pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. In the theater of your mind, can you see Hillary Clinton pledging her sacred honor to the American people? Thomas Jefferson finished a draft of this mighty document in 17 days. Congress adopted it July the 4th, 1776. What is it that Congress has accomplished in 17 days in the last 50 years? Yeah. The Declaration of Independence said we're free from King George and taxation without representation. So they had a Boston Tea Party because, why? The tax on tea had been raised 0.5 cent. Oh, that America had that spunk again. Now we're being taxed 40% and hoping they'll spare us. And that's what you get when you don't go vote. King George III denounced all Americans as traitors. The punishment was hanging by the neck until dead. John Hancock signed his name very large, he said, so that King George can read my name without his glasses. Their prospects, if they won the war, there was going to be years of hardship in the development of a new nation. If they lost, they were going to be hung by the neck until dead, because King George immediately declared that they were all traitors. They signed with ink and they paid with their blood. They fought, they bled, and they died for your freedom and mine. What happened to those 56 men? Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seven seas to pay his debts. He lost his home, he lost all properties, and he died in rags. He pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. He kept his honor, he lost his fortune, he lost his life for your freedom and for mine. Thomas Lynch Jr., third generation rice farmer, aristocrat, a large plantation owner. After he had signed, his health failed. With his wife, he set out for France to regain his health. The ship never arrived in France. He was never heard from again. Thomas McKeon of Delaware was so harassed by the British, he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served Congress without pay. His family lived in poverty and in hiding. And he did all of that for you and me and your children and your children's children, that freedom might be born. Vandals looted and burned all of the properties of Elroy, Clymer, Hall, Gwinnett, Walton, Hayward, Rutledge, Middleton. They sacrificed everything they had. They lost it all, that freedom might be born in America. Thomas Nelson Jr. of Virginia raised $2 million on his own signature to provision the fighting troops of George Washington. After the war, he personally paid back the loans which wiped out his entire estate. He was never reimbursed by our government. In the final battle at Yorktown, Nelson urged General George Washington to fire on his own house. Why? Because it was occupied by the British General Cornwallis. His home was totally destroyed. Nelson died bankrupt and was buried in an unmarked grave. He gave his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. He pledged everything for your freedom. John Hart was driven by the British from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions from the house as the British were approaching. His fields and grist mills were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in a forest and cave. He returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. He died a few weeks later of a broken heart. He pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The point, these 56 men paid a price for liberty and freedom. They were not poor, hungry, wild-eyed pirates in desperation. They were men of means. They enjoyed luxury and ease in their personal lives. They had much to lose, but they gave it up gladly for your freedom and for my freedom. Freedom was born July 4th, 1776, and the United States of America became a reality. Hallelujah and thank you, God. During the Battle of Valley Forge, there were people who were calling for the resignation of George Washington. Because remember, the army of the American Revolution were farmers with pitchforks. They were up against the best army in the world, the British Army. They were starving. Most of them didn't have a contract with the government to stay more than 6 weeks. George Washington gave each of them a coin that said victory or death. I see at Valley Forge an American patriot. His head is stained with blood. He has no shoes. His feet are wrapped in rags. He's hungry from starvation because they hadn't had food in days. He's standing in the snow, leaning on his musket, looking back at this audience. And he's saying, I stood in the snows of Valley Forge without shoes to give you the right to vote. And you stay home on election day because the weather is bad. I hear the echo from Valley Forge. I left my family destitute so that you could have freedom of speech. And you remain silent because it might be bad for business or politically incorrect. I hear the echo from Valley Forge. I orphaned my children to give you a government to serve you. And through neglect, you permitted government to become your master and the master of your children and the master of your grandchildren. Ladies and gentlemen of the 21st century, it's time for we the people to stand up and to speak up until there is a revival of righteousness, until there is a revival of morality, until there is a revival of truth, until there is a revival of patriotism. From sea to shining sea, let freedom ring! If you have served in the military, past or present, I'd like for you to stand. God bless you. 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 Remain standing. Remain standing. This is a tribute to you, to those who have fought, to those who will fight. Because freedom is the gift of the soldier. It is the soldier, not the preacher, that has given us the freedom of religion. Because if you and those who came before you had not beat the tyrants down, we wouldn't be able to assemble here today to worship God. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the university professor, who has given us the freedom to protest. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a free trial. It is the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag that makes freedom possible for those who live beneath that flag. May God bless you, those who came before you, and those who will come after you, to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for the American people now and forever. God bless you all. You may be seated. I close with the acknowledgement of our forefathers. George Washington, that would be the father of our nation, for those of you who have never taken American history. George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Do not let anyone claim to be a true American patriot if they ever attempt to separate religion from politics." End of quote. That statement would include some recent presidents we've had. President John Quincy Adams said, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read the Bible through once every year." End of quote, President John Quincy Adams. Abraham Lincoln, history calls him the greatest president because he held America together in the Great Civil War and produced the 13th Amendment that forever removed slavery. God bless his sacred memory. Abraham Lincoln said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God ever gave to man." End of quote. The Bible says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn." America is in mourning caused by political corruption. We must return to the God of our fathers. We must return to righteousness. We must return to prayer and patriotism. Let us return to the message printed on every coin in your pocket and every dollar in your wallet: "In God we trust." Say it with me: "In God we trust." Say it again: "In God we trust." If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hold high the torch of freedom. Be salt and light to our generation. Refuse to compromise to the forces of evil. We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Can I get a witness?
We have received many praise reports from those of you who have honored the Lord by giving your first fruits.
We thank you for blessing this ministry with your financial gifts and prayers. To God be the glory for the lives you have helped us change. Now stay tuned for Pastor Hagee delivering a blessing.
Go and tell the world that Jesus came, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins. Go and share the good news of your salvation. Take it into the furthermost corners of the world. This charge is for every Christian, but not every Christian knows how to preach amongst the day-to-day rhythms of life. We do, and we can do this together. Connect your passion with ours. Become a legacy partner today. Call the number on your screen or go to jhm.org/legacy.
At the Sanctuary of Hope, we are dedicated to the sanctity of life. Here, single expectant mothers and their children will have the opportunity to grow in the light and love of Christ. We are now accepting applications and referrals for residency.
Phase two of our building project is underway. These lots will become six loving Christian homes to mothers and their children.
Please consider partnering with Hagee Ministries today. Call the number on your screen or go to jhm.org/SOHcares.
Receive your blessings. And now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you His peace. May you know that God is leading you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. May you know without a shadow of a doubt that His power and presence make you more than a conqueror, that our Heavenly Father has gone before you and defeated your enemies. If you will surrender your burdens, He will carry them and see you to the other side. Now let the Lord fill you with His goodness and mercy so that you can walk in the victory that He has already given you. In the authority of Jesus' name, receive this blessing for yourself and for every member of your family. Amen.